You are now listening to the Black Girl Nerds Podcast.
Five, six, seven, eight. Holla, boys and girls, it's the BGN. Coming from the Marvel world to the DC friends. All the way from Hollywood to the PCN. She defends everyone from sleazy men. Won't apologize for spitting Shonda Rhimes. The space that we make is never colonized. Talking games and movies and actors.
Word? Better shake your booties for Black Girl Nerds.
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 Thanks for tuning into this episode of the Black Girl Nerds Podcast. My name is Jamie and I am your host. This week, we are pleased to present to you actor Asia Naomi King, who plays Catherine on the new NBC drama Grosse Pointe Garden Society. King co-starred for six seasons on the hit ABC drama How to Get Away with Murder and received a nomination for Best Supporting Actress in a Drama Series at the NAACP Image Awards. King recently received an Emmy Award nomination for her role in the limited series Lessons in Chemistry, as well as nominations both at the Critics' Choice Awards and NAACP Image Awards. Other recent work includes the feature film The Knife opposite Melissa Leo and the romantic comedy Boxing Day and the hit narrative podcast Blackout for Q Code. Other projects, King's resume includes Sylvie's Love, The 24th, A White Little Lie, The Upside, A Girl from Mogadishu, Damsels in Distress, and so much more. We're so excited to talk to Asia about her latest show, Grosse Pointe Garden Society, which you should be checking out now on NBC. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this episode of the Black Girl Nerds Podcast featuring Asia Naomi King. Well, I want to apologize and I want to say thank you because we met at SCAD in Atlanta and I had gotten your character name wrong and I want to apologize for that. But then I want to say thank you because you were so graceful and you were so sweet about it and you could have been like rude and been like, excuse me, did you not watch the show? And I wasn't able to prep in time, and I had a really rough week, and I did not get a chance to see the show, so that's why I didn't get the character name right. But I have seen the show, so I am prepped in this interview. So just thank you for being so sweet.
Of course, because like we all like right, we all have those moments. We're all human, like, and so we all deserve grace, and also like. Yeah, but you were, it wasn't horrible or insulting. I was just confused. I was like, ooh, I think someone gave her the wrong information and this is awkward. Like, do I tell her? Or should I just go along with it?
How sweet about it. So yeah. I will always remember that about you. So Thank you. So I love this because we've got like a little bit of Desperate Housewives going on, a little bit of Big Little Lies, but Grosse Pointe Garden Society is its own unique show. And I love that. And you've taken on such a wide variety of roles from How to Get Away with Murder to Lessons in Chemistry. What drew you to Grosse Pointe Garden Society?
I mean, definitely the script. You know when you have those moments where you, I'm so sorry, my like coffee machine is.
I can't hear it, so you're good.
Oh, great. Okay. I'm like, it's shutting itself off and it's so loud. Grosse Pointe Garden Society, when I read this script, you have moments in your life when these kinds of scripts come along and you think, oh my God, this just looks like so much fun. And it just felt so different from anything else I was reading and looking at. And I also felt like Coming out of that time, doing lessons in chemistry was such a beautiful experience. I put so much enormous work into crafting that character and just creating what I wanted that to feel like and establishing that. But it was also so heart-wrenching because of the story and the education I was getting from it. And when I read this script, I was just like, this just looks like fun. It's just gonna be fun, getting to play dress up and wear all these beautiful clothes, and then to be this kind of character who has this, who throws out this image of perfectionism and just has everything perfectly curated in her life. I'm like, she's like Martha Stewart meets Marie Kondo, and I like that kind of exacting nature about her. And then they completely surprised me with where the character has gone and just the way we explore everything underneath and her own personal turmoil and kind of the gilded cage she's created around herself and feeling the burdens and pressures of this life and wanting to break out of that. And all of that is happening underneath. And then on top of it, there's this murder. So I was just like, this is even more nuanced and layered than I thought it was going to be coming in. I was ready for like the fun kind of comedic and silly and stuff. I didn't expect them to go so deep into my character with my marriage and my family, and like you just learn so much about her. Like the episodes that are coming up, I can't wait for people to get to see this and to see who we have coming on the show. I'm so
Catherine gets
excited.
it's so deep with what she has to deal with and the complex, messy relationships she's involved in. And I love this idyllic setting that we're in, but then there is this underlying dark, deep, just very morbid story that's going on, and it's very compelling. The dichotomy is just very interesting to watch unfold, and we're going to see that unfold in these episodes, which is really interesting to watch. I mean, after working on a limited series, you mentioned Lessons in Chemistry. How does it feel to step into a serialized drama with these ongoing twists and turns?
I love it because you know that you get to have a life with these people and that they can continue to evolve beyond your own expectations. Like I don't know what the writers have planned for ongoing seasons, like fingers crossed. Right. But like I just know that there are so many directions we could go into, and it's fun as an actor to get to explore that challenge and to really know that you're going to get to play and that it can, that the world can continue to expand around you. That it's, yeah, it's like, it's just great to be able to grow with a character in that way.
I mean, Catherine is part of this seemingly perfect suburban garden club, but what's really going on? I mean, I know you can't spoil it, but what's really going on beneath the surface
Yes,
of what's
so we
happening?
learn in the first episode, Catherine looks like she has this perfect life, and then we learn that she's having an affair. And we further learn, which is like, okay, all right, Catherine, you being messy. Like, why are you trying to sabotage your seemingly perfect life? And then we get glimpses into her marriage where we see that maybe she's being unfulfilled and feeling neglected. And but to me, I'm like, so then we're seeing a woman who doesn't know how to communicate her needs, the fact that she turns to this affair. And now that the second episode has aired, we also learn, okay, I have to like, okay, I was like, I don't want to get ahead of myself. Right?
I'm
We
trying
so
not to also ask questions about other episodes that I've seen.
I know, right? I'm like, so we see in this second episode, after she kind of blows up Gary's life, Gary is who she's been having the affair with, and we learn that she feels betrayed by him in this, and she kind of blows up his life.
we see in the second episode that for her, this affair was something more. Like she thought it was something deeper, and that she was going to be moving closer to a life that she actually wanted for herself. And we also see her take responsibility for her actions, because she has gotten very good at blaming everyone else for her problems and not really being accountable. And in the second episode, we also see her face the consequences of what she's done in terms of encountering Gary's. I'm like, I don't want to totally spoil it, but it has aired, so it's not my fault. Gary's pregnant wife, and like being faced with that and needing to deal with the part she played in all of this and taking responsibility for that. And I think the way the episode ends is you see her about to have a conversation with her husband, because Gary was also taking advantage of her keeping it a secret from her husband still, even though she's ended the affair. And you know, him like basically trying to like blackmail her and stay at her house and all this stuff, which was crazy.
Messy.
But like, I love, and I don't think this is spoiling too much, but we are going to dive into how Catherine and Tucker in this marriage attempt to recoup like themselves, and well, we're going to learn how he reacts to this information in this upcoming episode and see where they can go from there. And I mean, it's just crazy. It's just crazy, you know? It is a reaction unlike any I've ever seen on TV in terms of a couple going through that and how that plays out. So I'm excited to hear everyone's thoughts.
And I love how the metaphors are, they have these parallels with these people's actual lives. Like you have the metaphor of the garden and how the flowers on the top of the soil are so beautiful and seemingly perfect. And then the dirt underneath, and it's dirty and it's grimy. And like the stuff that's under the dirt is just not the things that you want to see. And that's how these people's lives are. They have these seemingly perfect lives, and they present themselves to be, you know, these great cookie cutter folks,
right?
But then behind the scenes, it's not the things that you want to see. So it's very compelling how this show these different kinds of metaphors. And how would you describe Catherine's relationships with the other members of the Garden Society? Are there particular alliances or rivalries that we should be looking out for?
Yes. So you see, like Catherine, you know, her relationship to Alice and Brett, like she allows herself to be more vulnerable with them. I think, you know, because she's living in a community where everyone is kind of competing with each other for status, because they're not wealthy in this world. And so they're a little more real and raw. And so she's able to be more vulnerable with them because she can trust them, and she knows that they're not out to get her or take her place, you know, because so much for Catherine is about maintaining her status, and the fact that they're not like trying to take anything from her, she can actually be more forthcoming with them. And so it's lovely to see that there is some place in the, you know, facade of this neighborhood where she can be her truer self, or at least show and acknowledge that she's trying to find her way to being a more true version of herself. And then of course Birdie comes in, and she's like, hold up, wait a minute, who is this woman coming into my space with ideas and trying to take over? Like this is my playground. And you think that there's going to be like this growing animosity between these two, but I love the direction that we actually end up going in with them, is that they form an alliance and kind of immediately, well, I mean, not immediately, they definitely butt heads at first,
But then once they're on the same page, which it does happen very quickly, and I love that, they immediately kind of become a power couple, you know, in the situation and take care of business. And so it's like, so these are her partners. These are the people that she trusts the most. Like, I mean, it's crazy to think about it because they know more about her than her husband, you know, wow. Like at the top of the show, like, like somehow she's able to be more honest and revealing with them than her own husband, which says so much, know? And I think she really has to come to terms with that, like why that is. And she has to question, what has she projected onto him that she's not letting him in? And will she grow to a place where she can completely let him in?
Wow. That is something we got to tune in for.
Yes.
Wow. I love it. Do we see any parallels between like the cutthroat nature of the Garden Club and like other high society circles in real life?
Most definitely. Because like that's all it is, right? It's like who said this? Like everything is like high school, like being back on the play yard at recess. You have your groups, you like there's a hierarchy that everyone abides by, you know, and it's like what this show reflects is real life in terms of like how we parent, how we mother, how we compare ourselves to others, you know. And I love the way that we have conversations around that without it being too overly like, this is the way you should do it. You know, it's more like, it's just a reflection of like, this is what we've observed in human nature, you know, out in the world in actuality. And then like on the show, we like play it up, of course, because it's insane. And like, and being a mom now too, and seeing just how real that is, that like, well, who does mom so hard? Who's making sure their kids have the perfect lunches and are going to the right school to have the perfect future? Like all of that is so real and relatable. And it is intense, the amount of pressure we put on ourselves as parents to do everything right by our kids. And that's something else that Catherine has to come to terms with, that like that idea of perfectionism like can have a very negative side effect when it comes to parenting.
I love the parent dynamic on this show and how that also plays into sort of the MO of these characters in this series as well. What drives Catherine? Like, does she crave power, redemption, or just survival in this scandalous world?
I mean, like, I feel like at everyone's core, it's always about survival. Like, I feel like everyone's always trying to survive. Like, and especially in this kind of a neighborhood where it's so much of the keeping up with the Joneses, and you don't want to be ostracized from your community, because like Catherine is from this place. She is the epitome of Gross Point. You know, while some of the other characters might be more kind of outliers, you know, like she is the heart of Gross Point in terms of like, we are going to show the world that this is how you have a community, that this is the way everything is meant to be done. And it's going to be perfect. And no one can ever cast a shadow of a doubt on any of us. And so her being entwined in this murder, the stakes of that, how like that will destroy everything for her. So much is survival for the sake of her family, her marriage, her place in society, but also like legacy. Like this is everything her parents and her grandparents built to be able to be a formidable presence in this, in the culture of this community. Like she has to maintain and uphold that, because the way they had to struggle and work to make it possible to be wealthy and be welcomed and then become leaders within that community. Like she can't be the one who destroys it all. Like it's so much pressure.
So much pressure. Well, I can't wait to see, and first of all, the reactions from folks when they see how Catherine's journey unfolds Asia, thank you so much for taking the time to speak to Black Girl Nerds, and thank you for being so nice to me at SCAD. And I appreciate the conversation. I really love this show, and I love seeing you and all the things, and I hope to talk to you again.
Yes, it's so lovely seeing you again. Thank you. Thank you for your time.
Likewise.
The Black Girl Nerds podcast is produced by Jamie Broadnax. The opening theme song to our show is written and performed by Samus. Various instrumentals are performed by Samus, Sky Blue, and Shubzilla. You can find various episodes of the Black Girl Nerds podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Audioboom, Google Play Music, and Spotify.